title of this message this morning is The Light of the World. And if you're with me, you're in Psalm 18 and verse 18 and verse 28, I'm sorry. Stand with me for the reading of the word. Psalm 18, 28. For it is you who light my lamp. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Let's bow our heads again and pray, please. Heavenly Father, help us to hear and obey in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So like I said, the computer is very new to me, so bear with me. But the Word of God never changes, thank the Lord. So the light of the world is the title of the message. And you know, lights are a part of Christmas. We see lights going up in houses. We see lights on trees. We see lights on the outside of the houses, all around. My husband said not too long ago, I think it was the other week, that we don't see as many lights as we used to. Used to be, when we were young, we would see lights on every street at some place or another. Now you don't see them as much celebrating Christmas. But lights are a large part of the decorations of this Christmas season. Lights decorate all of these things and all throughout the neighborhoods. And it's an interesting thing that lights are a part of Christmas. My childhood memory, I remember a house in town that was a two-story house, and on our way to church on the evening services on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, they would have their lights lit up. But I don't think you could see anything but lights. You could only see that gigantic house with every, it seemed like, inch covered in lights. Everything in the yard was covered in lights. All the fencing was covered in lights. The mailbox was wrapped and outlined in lights. It was beautiful, and I loved to see it when I was a child. There was a man in Arkansas in 1993, and his name was Jennings Osborne. His wife's name was Mitzi. And they had a lot of land, and they decided that they would build this ginormous construction of lights to celebrate Christmas on their land. And as they did this, it was just beautiful. People were interested in coming and seeing it. They drove for miles, hundreds of miles. They loved to see it, but something happened. The courts got involved. And the courts said they was going to have to cut down the number of lights they had. They had too many lights, the courts said. And they also had to cut down, and they ruled, they had to cut down on how many days they turned the lights on. And you would maybe think, well, what's the courts getting involved with this for? Why? But you have to have the context of what was going on. The neighbors were complaining. This man had 3,200,000 lights on his property. He had a Santa Claus that was like 18 feet tall and the reindeer to match. And it was enormous, and people loved to come see it, but the neighbors really had a hard time getting in and out of the house and down the driveway and down the road, all of the neighbors. In fact, quite a bit of the town. And they worried that the EMS and first responders would never be able to get in there with all of the traffic that blocked the highways for miles. So the ruling came down. And it was a nuisance for many people, but an enjoyment for many people. Now, as we move into the new year, out of the Christmas season, the decorations start coming down. The lights come down. They get turned off. The Christmas trees get packed away as if it's going to be a memory, and it's gone. The lights are turned off. But we know Because we know Jesus Christ, that light does not get cut off. That light shines through the darkness. And what is that light? It is the light of the gospel of who he is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't come and then get crowned King of Kings. He came as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet this light that had come into the world, it shines through darkness. It shines through the darkness throughout all of the ages, and it can't never be put out. It can never be put out. This light is the light of the of God coming into the world. The light is a source of power that illuminates darkness. And when we think about darkness, we think about nighttime. Or you maybe have a memory of darkness. It was like in a cave. You walk a couple feet into a dark cave where there is no light, and you'll feel darkness. You won't just experience it from seeing it's dark outside, or I'm walking in a room and it's dark in the house. You go into a cave and you take a few, maybe 3-4 feet, and you put your hand in front of your face and you cannot feel that darkness. It feels very thick when that happens. Something happens in the brain. It's a really dark place. Well, the Lord brings light into even those dark places. And when we think about the light of the Lord, we think about the darkness of man's mind and their understanding throughout the world of who God is. They do not know, and their mind is darkened. Psalms 18:28 says this, "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness." I want us to leave here today walking in the light of God Almighty. God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want us to leave here today knowing that we're walking in the light of who He is. And the First Testament pointed to the coming of Jesus. We call it the Old Testament. I'm calling it the First Testament because Jesus fulfilled the first, and now we're in the second, which we call the New Testament. John 1:1-4 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." God didn't make Jesus. Jesus was God all along. Nothing was made that was made without him. In him was life, and life was the light of men. There's not been another. If anyone tells you there's another Christ, or there's another Messiah, or there's another light in the world other than Jesus Christ, saying that they are God, they're not. They're not God. John 1:5 says this, "The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light of God is powerful. And sometimes we feel like the darkness in this world is going to smother the church out, or the light out, or maybe even us out. But I'm telling you right now that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is Jesus Christ himself. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, you have to have that starting point, that belief in who he is, that knowing that he is God. That knowing that he came, that he gave his life for you, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, and that he lived and breathed like us, understanding our sufferings, and that he gave his life, which he did not have to do. He could have turned around and stopped at any second and said, "Nope, they're not worth it." He did not do that because you're worth it. Say, "I'm worth it." Yes, God created you and you are worth it. He redeems you through the blood of the Lamb. There is no other way. There is no other but Jesus. And why? It's because he loves you. What does John 3:16 say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." He doesn't want us perishing, but we could have everlasting life through Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1:5, the light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. What does the word of God mean by darkness? I sort of explained it just a bit. What does it mean by light? We kind of maybe have an understanding of many different kinds of lights. There are dim lights and there are bright lights. There are lights that are blue lights and red lights and green lights. There are black lights even. In the world, we have all kinds of light bulbs. But there is really only one light of the world, and that is Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3 and verse 19 says this. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He did not lay dying. He does not still hang on the cross. His bones are not still in that grave. He got up bodily and walked out of that grave by the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't come out like a spirit and a ghost. He came up bodily out of the grave. He even said to Thomas, who doubted, here, touch the wounds in my hand. You see the scar in my side. He didn't have to show Thomas a thing, but he did. Because he loves us all. Thomas had a work to do, and you have a work to do for the glory of God, a way to live for him, a way to shine the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says, the sun shall be no more your light by day, for brightness shall the moon give light. Give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. This is on down in Isaiah 60. The Lord Jesus outshines it all. We don't need even to have to trust the sunshine to shine. We don't have to trust the moon to shine. What we must trust is Jesus. Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We must. All of these other things are temporary. Our very breath in our life is temporary. Everything we own is temporary. Don't hold so fast to that is temporary. Hold fast to the Lord God Almighty, for he loves you and he wants you. He wants a relationship with you, not a religion with you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to love on you. Praise the Lord. Psalms 18:28. I'm back at that again. It's for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. If it weren't for the Lord in my life, I certainly wouldn't be standing right here. I was so scared to talk to people, I would hide. All through elementary school, it was very hard to have my personality in a group of people. But God done something for me when I came to him, when I believed in him. And I've seen things all along the way as I was raised in a Christian home. I was in church throughout my life. And I saw God move in mighty ways. This is why it's so important for us to dedicate our children to the Lord in having them in the church, growing up among God's people. We're not perfect. We're saved by grace. We don't willfully sin. That causes us terrible turmoil. Jesus loves us so much that he will convict us if we go that route and call us back to him. Jesus describes the importance of having the source of light in the parables. And if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 25, there's a parable there. And this parable, we're going to see the description of how important it is to have light, but more how important it is to have the source of light, who is God Almighty. A parable is an analogy of a real life thing. It's an analogy, a likeness, comparing this to that. In Matthew 25, we're going to start with verse 1. The kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are running out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. A parable of real life things, a comparison to what it is like to be without God, the source of the power. You know, there's some things that we see in these verses that are similar between these virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. They were all waiting on the same person. They were all virgins. They became physically tired. They slept. They were all awakened by the news that the bridegroom had arrived. And they trimmed their lamps. Trimming the lamps means they were cleaning their lamps. And when they clean their lamps, and if you have a lantern or you trim it, you're causing it to be clean so that the oil will burn brighter and the flame flicker less and it be brighter. It's a stronger flame, a steady flame. They all did these things. However, the foolish virgins had no oil. And they didn't have no light. They couldn't go in without that. Why is Jesus saying this to us? Why did he share this? But so that we would know there is something we need, and we need it desperately, or else we're going to be foolish, especially if we're called to this wedding. We need him. We need his word. How many Bibles in all the people's homes across all the world is sitting in a dark corner with a bunch of dust on it. Oh, maybe some good housewife or houseman may dust it off and it never gets opened. We must read the Word of God daily to grow in the Word of God. It's never good to go without that nourishment, that spiritual nourishment. Psalms 18:28. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Without God, without his word, without the Holy Spirit, we will be groping in darkness. If we do not listen to what the Lord is saying to us through his word, we will be groping in darkness trying to fix it ourselves. Whatever it is, we cannot fix it without God. There is no healing In certain things, there is definitely no healing in many things without God. But of our soul, there is none without Jesus. John 8:12 says, Jesus said this to them. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This light lights our path. This light, when we feel lost or confused about which way to go, we need the word. We need Jesus. We need to hear what he's saying. Church, we need to arise. We need to be able to understand why we are arising, why we are standing up in this world, in this dark place. We're not created to cower down against the darkness of the world. We're created to shine, to arise, and let the gospel light shine. We're created to speak the word. We have a calling to go out and witness to the lost. And a calling in us to go out and love people. Not condemn them. Not condemn them, but love them to their Savior. Bring them to him. Bring them in. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, I feel led to go back and read the other verse, and I have to do it. Jesus said in John 8:12. There it goes, y'all. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the Lord still says that to us today, right here in this moment, this very precious moment, this ordained moment by God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, and Paul is writing, in their case, the God, little g, of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. This is that darkness that Jesus is talking about. To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They could not see it. They would not believe it. They refused and rejected. And do you know we are all guilty of his death? Not a one of us. If we were there that day, could be found unguilty or not guilty because of sin. Paul wrote to the Colossian church in Colossians 1:9-14, and he said this to them. And he's praying and he's excited to say this to them. And so from the day we heard, he writes, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. That'll align something that's out of line, won't it? Yes, I choose joy. I want to be patient. I'm not afraid to ask God for patience. I need it because in your patience ye possess ye your souls. That's what I continue to hear my mama quoted to me from the time I was little. That's why I'm in the King James. In your patience, ye possess ye your souls. Patience, let her have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word of God speaks this. We need patience. And Paul is saying, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive me as I forgive others. Forgive me of my debts as I forgive others of theirs. Forgive me of my temptations as I forgive others of theirs, or my trespasses, sorry, as I forgive others of theirs. Follow the word of God. You will never go wrong. Do not bow down to things of this world, not the fleshly desires of bitterness and jealousy and envy and hate and strife and debauchery, not the things that mock God, turning on the TV and enjoying something unholy, listening to something with something in it that's unholy, doing something to your body that's not right before the word of God, before God. There is a judgment day. And when you remember the parable I just read, the five foolish virgins found that judgment day when he said, I don't know you. And then he warns us all, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. We only get this one life. We only get this one. Let's live it well. You can't do that on your own. Not on your own merit. You may be considered good. I've done good things. But if you don't know Jesus, your light, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not shining. So you're not fulfilling what you were created to fulfill. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for a chosen few, although a few will be chosen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all. Only some walk it. Only some will believe. The rest will turn away. That's their choice. Jesus died so that they all could be saved. Matthew 5:14 says this to us, to Christians. If you are called by his name and you have accepted Jesus Christ for who he is, the very Son of God, God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hid. You can't be hid. You don't want to be hiding this. Philippians 2:14-16 says this, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Every generation without Christ is crooked and twisted, not just one, all. There is nothing new under the sun. Sin is sin, the root of it, and the growth of it. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. If I said to you all, raise your hand if you've grumbled or disputed about something, we can all pray right now, can't we? We have. But thanks be to God, there is an advocate with the Father that we can call on. And he doesn't let that grumbling and disputing sit well with us if we're called by his name. It will trouble us. And then you know, I'm God's. And then you need repent. Because he loves you to deal with you, right? He does me. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twist generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And the next part says how? Holding fast to the word of life. Amen. Amen. There is no other. I can testify of my life. There is no other. There is no other life I want to live. No other life. I remember when I came to the Lord. I remember that weight of sin lifting off of me. I remember him loving me. I remember hearing of him, hearing about him all my life. Thank you, Mom and Dad. I remember hearing about him from those teachers and preachers all my life. That's God's grace. In the middle of a crooked world, everything all upside down, God shined his light into my life. Through people like Issa May. I can't even remember her last name. She was my primary school teacher in Sunday school. I was like little Isabel running around with the one with the sparkly red dress today. I can see my brother in the casket. Oh, not the casket, good Lord. The bassinet in front of me. I had to look into it. She was teaching on Daniel one week in the lion's den, and then she was teaching on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace the next. And at that point somewhere, she asked, if you believe in Jesus, pray with me. I remember believing. I didn't understand what I was believing fully. I was just a kid. But I remember believing. And I asked him. I said, Lord, I believe you are God. I believe. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I didn't even know what sin was then. But I knew I felt God's presence moving in my heart, my body, my spirit. Something I didn't understand, but I could feel him tugging. And that's the way it is. The Holy Spirit, he works to draw us. He works to draw us. And he will call us to himself. It's our responsibility to respond.